Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're cracking open The Confidence Gap by Russ Harris. Sophie, what's the big myth this book is out to bust?
Hey there, Sam. So glad we're talking about this one. Russ Harris goes after the idea that you need to feel confident before you can act boldly. You know, the whole, once I feel ready, I'll do it trap.
Oh, I've been stuck in that trap so many times. It's like waiting for the perfect moment that never comes.
Exactly. And Harris says that's because feelings aren't under our direct control. You can't just will yourself to feel confident any more than you can will yourself to be hungry.
Right? So if I can't control the feeling, what's the alternative? Just pretend I'm confident?
Not exactly. He calls it the confidence gap, this chasm between who you are and who you want to be. And the usual approach is to try to build a bridge of confidence first. But Harris says that's backwards.
So what does he suggest instead? I'm guessing it's not about pumping yourself up with affirmations.
No, it's based on acceptance and commitment therapy, or ACT. Two core pillars, mindfulness and values. Mindfulness is about observing your thoughts without being consumed by them. Values are about what truly matters to you.
Okay, so instead of chasing confidence, I focus on my values. That makes sense. But how do I deal with the fear that pops up?
Harris breaks down the confidence cycle that keeps us stuck. You want to do something like give a presentation. You think, I'm going to mess this up. That triggers anxiety, so you avoid it or rehearse endlessly. That gives short-term relief, but long-term misery.
And each time you avoid, you teach your brain that public speaking is dangerous, so the anxiety gets worse. I've done that 1,000 times.
Exactly. So ACT offers 3 skills to break that cycle. The first is diffusion. That's learning to see thoughts as just words and pictures, not commands. When you think, I'm an imposter, you can say, I'm having the thought that I'm an imposter.
So you step back and become the observer of the thought, not the thought itself. That's powerful. What's the second skill?
Expansion. That's the opposite of what we naturally do when we feel fear. We tend to tighten up and push the feeling away. Expansion is about making space for the feeling, breathing into it, letting it be there without letting it control you.
Like the tug of war metaphor. You're pulling against a monster of fear, and the only way to win is to drop the rope.
Exactly. And the third skill is connection, being present in the here and now. Our minds are always time traveling, replaying past failures or projecting future disasters. Connection pulls you back to the present moment where you can actually act.
So diffusion, expansion, connection. These help you build a new relationship with your inner experience. Then what?
Then you move to the values-based action cycle. First, you clarify your values. Harris makes a key distinction between goals and values. Goals are outcomes you achieve, like climbing a mountain. Values are ongoing directions, like being adventurous.
So you can always live your values, even if you don't reach the goal yet. That's liberating.
Exactly. And then you take committed action. You do what matters, even when it's hard. True confidence isn't a feeling that precedes action. It's a byproduct of action. Each time you act in the face of fear, you prove to yourself you're capable.
So it's like building a track record of courage. That's way more reliable than waiting for a feeling that might never come.
Right. And there's this great 4-step process for dealing with self-doubt in the moment. First, hold yourself kindly. Acknowledge the pain without judgment. Second, drop the rope. Stop fighting the feeling. Third, get present. Connect with your senses. And fourth, do what matters. Take one small step toward your values.
That's practical. I can see using that before a tough conversation or a big meeting.
Yeah, it's designed to be used in seconds. And Harris also talks about willingness, which is choosing to make space for unpleasant feelings in order to do what matters. It's not about liking the pain, just accepting it as part of the deal.
So the opposite of willingness is control, trying to avoid all discomfort, which just shrinks your life.
Exactly. And he even addresses fake it till you make it. That's just another form of control, suppressing your true feelings. Instead, you focus on the task at hand, not on how you appear.
So, if I'm nervous about a presentation, I focus on the content, not on trying to look confident. That takes the pressure off.
Totally. And there's a great tip for dealing with your inner critic. Instead of arguing with it or trying to silence it, you just think it. It's a misguided protector, so you say thanks for your input and then do what you were going to do anyway.
That's such a reframe. The inner critic isn't the enemy. It's just trying to keep you safe. But you don't have to obey it.
Right.
And the ultimate takeaway is that confidence isn't a permanent state of fearlessness. It's the willingness to feel the fear and act anyway. You become someone who knows they can handle failure and keep moving forward.
So the confidence gap isn't a chasm you have to cross before you start. It's the space where your courage is forged.
Exactly. You step into it one small action at a time. And honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app. Over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, starting at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access.
That's a steal for that much wisdom.
It really is.
So the book's whole point is that you don't have to wait for the feeling of confidence. You can choose to be brave right now, even when you're shaking. That's the essence of true confidence. We'll see you in the next one.